So the four practice guidelines that we've come up with are, the first one was the integrated approach to reportable communicable disease. Now, I really want to say that VHA did a tremendous, they did this work. And then they brought it to the First Nations groups who, and then it really got pulled apart and really looked at, and tons of editing, lots of meetings, lots of coming to understanding that, in fact, this didn't mean that the First Nations were going to become branch offices of VHA. That, in fact, that was not the intent, that it was just a matter of wanting to try to make these things very clear, how everybody was going to work together. That was a really long exercise, and I think a really worthwhile exercise, because we came away from that, those meetings, with a much better understanding of what was in our hearts, what it was that we were wanting to do to work together. So having done that very good work based on the work that VHA really had poured into it, then the other ones flowed fairly quickly. So then we had this integrated approach to immunization on reserve, the agreement for exchange of immunization records, which of course had to happen because we didn't have access to each other's electronic records, and then an approach to just program information. You know, how do we find people? Who's out there working? When do they work? You know, those very basic kinds of things. But it was a very big patchwork quilt, and it was hit or miss to try and find how you would be in touch if something happened, or even if it didn't. So while each of these practice guidelines can stand alone, to reduce redundancy and confusion, what we did was just reference each in the others. So just to give you a brief look at what's inside the integrated approach to communicable disease, it describes the roles and responsibilities of each of them. And then there's a matrix of responsibility, the different health authorities and services covered in the practice guideline, contacts, VHA contacts for urgent on reserve, CD clinical case management. And then the nurses also wanted to have, the nurses in First Nations need to do a monthly report to FNIH on CD, and they wanted to have that attached into this document so that they can access it quickly. In the on reserve practice, the immunization on reserve practice guideline, again describes the roles and responsibilities, and then has two appendices. One is the First Nations support of immunization competency for nurses working in other First Nations. So what this is about is that nurses who, as we're well aware, we have the four parts of immunization competency. So we need to have an observed mentorship experience. This is a really tricky bit for a nurse who's working in an isolated place without experienced colleagues, or with clinics that aren't busy enough to get a really good overview of what can come up in an immunization clinic. So we wanted to see those nurses to get a better mentorship experience. This experience is offered on a cost recovery basis by VHA. The First Nations partners really wanted to see their nurses oriented in a First Nations community if possible. This is still under discussion. It's still in dream phase. One of the things that's happened is that we have developed a job description for a nurse clinician who could work with nurses in First Nations. Two communities have offered the possibility of doing mentorship experiences for nurses from other places. So Cowichan Tribes has very busy clinics and is interested. So they're basically in a busy urban center, and they would offer service, this mentorship service. And a houset is a very busy, remote, rural setting. And they would offer it. They can only offer it if they've got extra backup. So, you know, we're still hoping that we can find some funding for somebody who can offer that mentorship experience in Cowichan or in a houset. And then, so that's basically what's spelled out in that first appendix. And then in the next one is how a nurse would get that experience in a VHA setting. So this agreement for exchange of immunization records, I don't need to tell you how complex this can be. You have people who are moving on and off reserve. You have people moving between reserves. You have people receiving some services in First Nations, some off. Some, you know, it's people just are very mobile. And so, and then you have a whole group of people who are not getting services anywhere. And so what we're wanting to do is to work with ways around that. How do we exchange immunization information in ways that will help nurses have a more full picture when they go to immunize? I had the experience of being in a houset to immunize, and I had the child. He was well. I actually had biologicals that hadn't been wasted because the electricity had gone out. I had an anaphylaxis kit. I had everything but the child's records. And I was basically told that I needed to wait to get them. And we did work around that, but we really need to make sure that nurses have records when they need them. So part of this is setting up that kind of exchange. It's a workaround. We would love it if ePanorama was online and everybody was connected and hooked up and the world was perfect, but it's not going to happen. So not for a while. So this is a workaround. And the other thing I do want to say is thanks to the work of Charmaine Enns and Shelley Henderson and Katie Hine. One of the communities at KDC is starting to do this at pilot of the iFIS module, and it's just people are loving it. It's really working well. And then, just this change is constant, and we need to keep people in touch. And so, we have created an Excel spreadsheet, which is again a workaround. It's nothing fancy, but it's got a ton of information. And then we also have an adapted after hours and holiday on call form. So the immunization certification, I don't think I've got time to go into a great deal of detail. I've talked a bit about the issue of orientation mentorship. The exams, VHA has a recertification exam at 6 months, and we wanted the nurses and First Nations to meet the same standard. So we did negotiate with FNIH that their nurse clinician would mark the exams at 6 months. FNIH marks all of the nurses who are working in First Nations. Excuse me. So that added piece that the research's done. The observed checklist of skills is a tricky one. Again, VHA will provide that on a cost recovery basis, but FNIH has the accepted practice that nurses working in First Nations can have their observed checklist done by peers, and we want to meet the same standards on Vancouver Island as VHA, and so that means that the nurse gets their observed checklist done by a nursing manager or nurse clinician. This is definitely a tricky piece and something that still needs to be worked out. And I'm not going to go into all of these things. You will have them on the website. You'll be able to get them. So quickly. And I've talked also about the CD orientation. So I'm finishing. I'm going to say that there has been a ton of work done by many, many people on this. And Karen, oh good, I did remember you, Karen. Karen worked for the first little bit on this, and she's on here. So all of these people put lots of hours, lots of good heart, and we are still erasing lines. We're not finished, but hopefully soon. So thank you.